It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 24th day of April, 2023. This is The Horn, headon.live. That's where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. And whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the podcast. And by the way, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends and your neighbors. And leave a comment and press that heart button at TuneIn Radio if that's how you listen. And we will eventually get to 1,000 unique listeners at TuneIn alone, which will be fantastic. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Morin Monday. And lo and behold, we have Morins. But if you pop into the chat room right now, when the program is live, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Theo and Squeaky and Irish Dave and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave, and he is capably assisted by Horn Chief Agronomist or Horn Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus Roger in Oregon, and we are off and running. And it's been right brisk here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bycol Manchinistan. Like down to 30 overnight. There's a freeze warning on here, so all the intrepid early dedicated early planters may wind up having to replant their tomatoes and whatnot because, freezy. but what a beautiful day it's turned into. It's sunny and bright outside. And for all of those who wish Jeanette a happy birthday, thank you so very kindly. We had a lovely time. Went out Saturday night, and she socialized and danced and had a wonderful night, and went out and had breakfast the next morning. We had this wonderful little restaurant culture in Fayetteville, and it's kind of in a transitional phase, because, well, one of the nice breakfast places closed. The other one is still there, and we went in there on Sunday morning and couldn't get in it because it was already packed with tourists. And Tudor's Biscuit World, no, we never go there. And that left us with Bob Evans. Bob Evans has really, really, really gone downhill. They sold the Bob Evans company. You know, they've got that thing on the those words on the wall that says, where we treat strangers like friends and friends like family. And I remember one time Ferg and I were in there and looked over at him, and I looked at him, and we treat family like shit. But never mind. But they sold off. The company hung on to the Bob Evans, like, you know, grocery store brand, the sausage and the mashed potatoes and the mac and cheese and the apples and stuff that you can microwave at home. But they sold the restaurant side off. And the waffles are gone. And the fried cornmeal mush is gone. Don't hate. And it was just gross. But hey, now you can get a mimosa on for Sunday brunch. Didn't quite make up for it, but we had a lovely time. And again, thank you to everyone who wished her a happy birthday. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we have thank yous to say. For our 24th, 23rd, and 22nd day of the month, PayPal subscribers. And that means thank you, working backwards. Thank you to Josh, and thank you to Samson. Thank you so much to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. And thank you to David out in Oregon. David said, studying for finals, so I'm super busy sending love. Look at you. You're almost done with 1L. From here on, it's getting through that first year. That's so critical. I'm so happy for you, David, and so proud of you. And thanks as well. To Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of the San Diego area. Thank you, Colin. Thank you so very much. And thank you to Rob. That was huge, Rob. Thank you. That was Friday evening. And thank you to a kind internet stranger who took our fundraising goal down to $700 for last week. So that means in terms of funding, what remains unfunded of last week is Friday and Thursday, and $100 of Wednesday. So thank you so very much. And where that leaves us as we are trying to finish the month of April, fully funded. We're just going for the rest of the week. We got $2,200 to go to finish the month of April. This week and the $700 from last week. So hopefully maybe we will take some of that down and get close to finishing to the good, because there's still a bunch of stuff, scary bills waiting to be paid. And hey, yeah, I mentioned I got to get tires. Well, one of them has a hole in it, so it got a can of Fix-A-Flat today. Don't like that. That's worrisome, but that's where we are. And hopefully we'll get close to done with the entire month, one hopes. I guess as far as Morian Monday is concerned, there's only one thing to talk about, namely the departure of testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. But there's, I think there are angles to it that I don't know if the for-profit media, the multimillionaire for-profit media, I don't know if they're taking it into account. But it's certainly worth talking about. Scott in San Diego says, Tuck job, bliss. Tuck job. Ha, ha, ha. The firing of Tucker Carlson makes me think back to something President Lyndon Johnson reportedly said about his 1967 decision to keep longtime FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover on the job. I'd rather have him inside of the tent pissing out than outside of the tent pissing in. In Tucker's case, Fox News apparently took a view opposite of LBJ's, tent-wise and test-wise. I don't think it would... they're saying that it was a mutual decision. But then again, last Friday, Tuckio Rose said, "And we'll be back on Monday." No, you won't. And Flavio, I saw that image too, and it just made me giggle with much merriment. A meme of the green M&M saying, "Tell Tucker, I want him to know, it was me." And to a certain extent, it kind of maybe was. Because Tuckio Rose's stupid little jihads didn't look the greatest. But for my money, my guess is that what really did him in and bear with me here because we've got to sort of connect some dots but recall that in all of the discovery over the Dominion case, the massive freakout happened when Fox correctly, blind hog, acorn, once in a while, when Fox correctly called the race in Arizona for Biden, that is when the feces hit the spinning blades. And that's where the problem started, because suddenly Emory and Marvelline began departing in droves from Fox News to go over to Newsmuck or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, what have you. And they... The freakout was about losing viewers. Not telling the truth, not journalistic integrity, but losing viewers. With some people thinking that and asserting that they should continue to simply lie to their audience because it's all they've ever done. And tell them that the election really was stolen. And all of that came out in the discovery, and it's never going back in the bottle. But in the process of that, testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson, man of masculinity, declared, "I hate Donald Trump. I despise him. There are few people on this earth I loathe more than him," or words to that effect. And I think that may have been his undoing. It's one thing to lie to people and demonize an entire segment of the population. Sure, happens all the time, especially at Fox. But to say out loud what people privately were thinking, that is, that Nitwit Nero is a sack of shit, well, that was a bridge too far. And that may be what actually cost him his gig. And he's gone, and I'm betting that the purge is nowhere near done. I'm thinking maybe Maria Bartiromo, right? Juicebox Janine Pirro, and a few others. They may wind up gone too. I don't think they've got the courage to get rid of the Hannity job. That just seems like that would be too... Or Frau Ingram. But Tuckio Rose has oodles and oodles of money. And he will land on his feet somewhere. The question is, where is he going to go? Will he take his so-called massive viewing audience with him to Newsmuck? Probably won't go to Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, because, well, they're not in very good shape. I've seen some reference to the fact that he may be in talks with Leon Scum. Maybe Leon wants to launch a right-wing hate network. Maybe put him on Twitter video. No worries, Steve in New York. Got your message. That's fine. But I think there's a good bit of nuance to be found in all of this business with Tuckio Rose, not the least of which, and it's hard, granted, it's hard to imagine something like this actually mattering over at Rupi and Lockie's little dive. But there was also the reporting from a former producer that the Tuckio Rose set was just a slimy cesspit of constant misogyny and anti-Semitism. Of course, everybody else was probably down with the rampant transphobia. Don't worry about that. But maybe that shittiness was part of it too, because I couldn't help noticing in one of the stories about his departure, that it wasn't just Tuckio Rose. It was Tuckio Rose and one of his nasty little minions, Justin Wells, the senior executive producer of Tucker Carlson Tonight. So that kind of says something, doesn't it? And we can discuss all of this at some point in the course of the broadcast, if you want. Jump in, and we will. A reminder, there is a new Skype address for reaching the program. It is Robin, R-O-B-Y-N. Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Robin Kincaid Horn. And that will that'll get you into the program. If you've not sent me a contact request, please feel free to do so. And we'll sort some of this out. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Tucker. They'll have to start a new network so he can have somewhere to apply that he hasn't been fired from already. Ha! But that brings up another curiosity. There was another dismissal. And that was Don Lemon over at CNN, who says he had no idea it was coming, but he got shit-canned. CNN says otherwise. But he said, I wasn't even invited in for a meeting. And CNN said, yes, you were. But I feel confident that I know why he was canned. And y'all probably do, too, because we had the audio on the program last week. Don Lemon tying into Vivek Ramaswamy, the right-wing asshat techno-gajillionaire who decided to blacksplain civil rights to Don Lemon you know, a black man. And so there's that. But that also means that there's an opening at CNN. And, well, Tucky O'Rose did spend a lot of years at CNN being a complete, total, and absolute pernicious, toxic asshat. So that possibility definitely, I wouldn't write it off. CNN has done dumber things. Remember, Allison Camerota was at Fox News for, what, 14 years? And that stuff doesn't exactly, well, the Fox mindset doesn't just disappear. And then, because paranoia is real, thanks to John in Central PA for sending this along. This is the longest. Wow, I guess if you pay for the blue, if you pay Leon Scum for the blue check mark, you can write entire, well, blog posts, not be limited to like 240 characters or whatever. But there he is, Bobby Kennedy Jr., presidential candidate on the Democratic in the Democratic primaries of 2024. Bobby, how can we miss you if you won't go away? Fox fires Tucker Carlson 5 days after he crosses the red line by acknowledging that the TV networks pushed a deadly and ineffective vaccine to please their pharma advertisers. Oh, please shut up. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a lawyer and at one point in time was a good one. And I would think he would understand what it means to become a financial liability to your employer. Carlson's breathtakingly courageous April. Oh, really? They're bouncing off your chin, Bobby. Carlson's breathtakingly courageous April 19th monologue broke TV's two biggest rules. Tucker told the truth about how greedy pharma advertisers controlled TV news content, and he lambasted obsequious newscasters for promoting jabs they knew to be lethal and worthless. Well, you know, lethal and worthless are two different things, dumb shit. Ah, what a fuckwit. So, Tucker Carlson's toxic masculinity and Tucker Carlson's toxic anti-Semitism and Tucker Carlson and his staff's toxic misogyny. Yeah, well, all of that is just impossible where Bobby Jr. is concerned. Jabs. For many years, Tucker has had the nation's biggest audience, averaging 3.5 million, 10 times the size of CNN. Fox just demonstrated the terrifying power of Big Pharma. Or, I don't know, the terrifying power of Big Judgment. The terrifying power of Big Settlement. The terrifying power of Big Lawsuit. None of which was the result of anything to do with the pharma industry. Lord God, Bobby, you're dumber than a head and a hog is in the ass. And Lord God, the anti-vax future Herman Cain Award winners came crawling out from behind the baseboard like the little cockroaches they are.
The sooner everyone just admits the vaccine has been an absolute dumpster fire, the better. Most of us know the truth, and the rest just can't admit it to themselves as of yet. Does Tucker join your ticket now?
Yeah, a unity ticket of a pair of anti-vaxxers. Oh, God. But there's Max Kennedy. My uncle would be so disappointed in you. Followed by our friend Nicole Sandler. Oh, just go the fuck away. But, well, as Matt in San Francisco says, yeah, we all have that one nephew. Yeah. That one nephew who reaches over and eats off your plate. That one nephew who comes to do a comes to have sex with the hillbilly women under the guise of making a documentary. Oh, what a... Well, I mean, Kennedy is as Kennedy does, I guess. Well, what a sleazy gut bucket. And at one point in time, I guess Taylor Swift dated his son or something. Move along, Tay-Tay. Smart girl, you got away. As to Don Lemon, Steve in New York says, I confess I welcome Donnie's shit-canning, Don Lemon. I think Gloria Vanderbilt's son should get the boot, too. Now, don't be hating on Anderson. But there's just a crisis of talent over at CNN. The fact that they did finally get rid, this was months ago, finally got rid of Chris Saliza, didn't they? They did. Was at least heartening. The Captain Obvious of journalism. I saw somewhere that he's got a book out about presidents and sports. It's got a picture of Eisenhower playing golf in it. Whatever. Yeah, I tend to agree, Brother Deacon Asa. RFK Jr. needs to shut the fuck up and realize that candidate Marianne Williamson is already working the anti-vax corner. Get a clue, dumbass. You need a different shtick. Yeah. And the sad thing is, anything that he was credible about before has largely been negatively impacted by all the anti-vax horse shit. Don't think they're going to be screening The Last Mountain anywhere. Thank God I'm only in that thing for about a second and a half. Flavio says, I think Mehdi Hasan did a good job this weekend skewering RFK Jr. Forgive me, he said, but a Bannon-backed, Tucker-platformed anti-vaxxer is perhaps not the progressive, principled, anti-establishment, liberal Democratic Party champion that he might want you to think he is. Oh, I'm not thinking he is. No. No. He's a schmuck. So, like I said, it was kind of obvious where this was going to start out. And God knows my social media feed has been, ha-ha, Tucker Carlson's gone all day long. And I confess, when I first saw the news release, it's like, wait a minute. And I checked the calendar, it's like, this is not April 1st. That's real. And, of course, the obligatory press statement from Fox. We congratulate Tucker Carlson on many years of great broadcasting and wish him nothing but the best going forward. Sure, Rupee. You betcha. And this is just... Well, I'm not sure how vapid this is, but I kind of got a giggle out of it. Apparently, there was a meet this past Wednesday. Morning Joe and Morning Mika were at the Palm Beach International Airport in Florida. Yeah, it's safe for them to go to DeSantis land.
because they're cis and het and white. But they were making their way through Palm Beach International Airport, and lo and behold, who comes up and starts yammering at them but Carrie Lake? God, this feels so ugly and gossipy. I feel like I need the Entertainment Tonight music going behind me. But Carrie Lake, pathetic little attention seeker that she is, Carrie Lake came up and started yammering at them, and then immediately ran to that rickety podcast platform run by the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, you know, Stevie Three Shirts. She saw him and went clacking up to them to introduce herself. Yeah. I just wanted to introduce myself because you guys spent an awful lot of time bad-mouthing me on your show. This is all stuff that she later said she said. And I just wanted to, you know, put the human being behind the face that you guys kind of go after. Look, you know, I'm the human being behind the person. You guys like to bash 24/7, and that's okay, but I just wanted to introduce myself. Oh, honey, they don't bash 24/7. They're barely on the air for 4 hours a day. And at least 1 hour of that is in the can. It's just a rerun of content from previous content from that morning. And in point of fact, their Friday program was canned and shot on Wednesday. And so she went on and on and on, Carrie Lake did, and she said, well, you know, Joe Scarborough was fairly nice. But Mako is not very pleasant. She confronted me, saying that Brzezinski told her, well, you're a liar, and you're an election denier, and, you know, went on and delivered delusions and all of this. In other words, it sounds like Mika's probably got more starch than Joe does by a long shot. I mean, if she really did go after Carrie Lake, then her, well, she gets more respect from me than heretofore. But because she's a pathetic little attention seeker, Carrie Lake immediately ran to Twitter and said, ran into Joe and Mika from MSNBC at the airport. Joe was fairly nice, but his wife started recording me, calling me a liar, and said I was delusional. They constantly lie and disparage me on national TV. I wonder if they'd be brave enough to have me on their show. Oh, I bet you'd love to be on their show, wouldn't you? She needs a job, at least until she runs for the Republican nomination for Senate next year. And yeah, appears Mika did take her phone out and hit the record button because she wanted to make sure that there was nobody telling any lies about what's said or not said. How am I aching back? So just as a matter of curiosity, what's your thought? Should, yeah, because obviously she desperately wanted to be booked to spread her crazy, her brand all over the Morning Zoo Crew show. My filthy morning habit. And you know, I've said in the past, and I don't think incorrectly, that sometimes these Lulus need to be confronted directly and called out for the shit weasels that they are. Maybe if she went on the set and Mika just tore her a new one, might that finally put paid to her? I honestly don't know. Steve in New York says, Carrie Lake, why anyone would think that a person who loses an election and declares herself the duly elected governor is a liar and delusional? Why would anyone think that? I know, it's just crazy stuff, huh? Yeah, access journalism, Steve points out. Access journalism ain't journalism. The ProPublica article about the geriatric genitalia justice, ha ha ha, Fappy Thomas, didn't require any access and was among the best this year, and it's only nearly May. I know. But it's absolutely true. And we've got some Fappy Thomas news in the stack. Go get her, Mika. Flavio points out, RFK Jr., did you know Harlan Crowe's got his money on him, too? I just read this the other day, sick mofo. Well, you know, I'm sure that Bobby Jr. will take just about anybody's money. And I can see where Harlan Crowe would want to give him a good bit of it for being exactly what the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Wants. Namely, chaos inside the Democratic Party nominating process for president. Nobody needs to be primarying Joe Biden. At least not if we want to hold on to the White House. And I'm funny in that, yeah, I would like to hang on to the White House. The prospect of Nitwit Nero or Monkey Up or any other godforsaken Republican. In that office. Fills me with a level of dread that I can scarcely express. And Steve says, by the way, I'm well aware I'm registering 11 on the snark meter tonight. Mea maxima culpa. Don't sweat it. There's snark to go around. And our snark is a boojum. And going back to Tuckio Rose Carlson for a minute, I haven't paid much attention to this guy because, well, there really wasn't any need. But Ray Epps, you've probably heard his name. Ray Epps used to be a maggot. And Ray Epps was there on January 6, 2021. And Tuckio Rose Carlson, along with others, but he had the biggest mouthpiece, the biggest microphone, the biggest, yeah, platform, started running with this notion that Ray Epps was the one who incited the terrorist attack on the Capitol of the United States on January 6, 2021. Well, Ray Epps was interviewed by 60 Minutes. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for him, Ray Epps, because maggots. But then again, there's the concept of grace and forgiveness, and he's a little bit older than me. He's 61. He owned a business in Arizona, Stan, and they have spread a rumor that he was an FBI snitch. Because Antuccio Rose Carlson advanced this idea along with others, that somehow or another that he worked in conjunction with federal agents who were the real people who attacked the Capitol. Because they wanted an excuse to crack down on conservatives, which is hilarious without any further consideration, because of course everybody knows the FBI is just a raving gang of liberals. No, they're authoritarian AF. They're right wing. They probably vote Republican, the vast majority of them. Remember, we had the story from a while back of how senior level FBI officials had to reach out and lecture people in the field offices who were saying they felt sympathetic to the domestic terrorists who attacked the Capitol on January 6, 2021. And they had to tell these FBI agents and employees that no, the election wasn't stolen. Yeah, that. But in talking to 60 Minutes, Ray Epps told them that Tucker Carlson was, well, he's obsessed with me. That's what Ray Epps said. And he's probably not wrong. Because it turns out that in this year alone, testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson, man of masculinity, has mentioned Ray Epps no less than a half a dozen times so far. And speaking to 60 Minutes, Ray Epps said, I think he thinks Tuckio was trying to provide cover to shift the blame onto someone else besides the people who actually perpetrated it. Epps saying, if you look at it, Fox News, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ted Cruz, Gates, they're all telling us before this thing that it was stolen. So you tell me who has more impact on the people, them or me? And I guess the whole thing comes, the conspiracy theory comes from the fact that Ray Epps was directing people in a number of videos, directing people to the Capitol. And yet Ray Epps himself did not enter the Capitol and, in fact, left before 3 o'clock on January 6th and has not been charged. The FBI gave a statement to 60 Minutes saying, Ray Epps has never been an FBI source or an FBI employee. And so the real world effects of this is that Ray Epps and his wife had to break camp and go into hiding because of the threats that the maggots were leveling at them. They got a letter saying Mexican cartels were planning on offing him. It was probably bullshit, but you don't take that stuff lightly. So they sold their house, they bought an RV, and they went deep into the Rocky Mountains to hole up. And according to what he told the New York Times, Ray Epps also lost a, and this is a complicated accounting and banking term, shit ton of money because he had to sell his business. And his wife's name's Robin, and she said, some people have said, well, just let it go and let it die down. What they don't understand is that it doesn't. And just think, none of this ever would have happened to them, and he'd be a happy little Arizona businessman. And all he had to do was not swallow whole the patently obvious bullshit lies that the election was done stole. Oh, Matt, subject line FBI. An FBI agent was next to the banker that threw the first brick at Stonewall. Oh, I saw a meme over the weekend from the Lord of the Rings. You know, Aragorn, you shall have my sword. And Legolas says, and my bow. And Gimli says, and my axe. And the fourth frame is a picture of Marsha P. Johnson saying, and my brick. An FBI agent was next to the banker that threw the first. I'm so glad that stayed with you, Matt. I needed that. I needed that right this instant. Emilio. Come on, doesn't the FBI have that new woke and pronoun affairs division? Oh, don't even whisper that into the ear of the universe or I'll never hear the end of it. Pronouns! And speaking of, oh dear God. Yeah, Ron DeSantis' entire political career is a noun, a verb, and the word woke. But it ain't just Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. Because we have a Sarah Hasselbeck sandbag sighting for this Moran Monday. Because Jethreen Bodine, the governor of Arkansas, is still hashtag Bud Light Butthurt. Well, maggots will always try to find a way to lighten the wallets of their Otne Ute Itbre, if you one what I in may, followers. I kid you not, this is not a parody. This is actually on Jethreen's website. It's a video. It's an ad.
America presents Real Women of Politics.
Now, we have played the Real Men of Genius ads from Budweiser from decades past, and those were genius. This is not genius. And it's hilarious, though, that they got a guy to get close to the guy who did the voiceover for the Real Men of Genius ads. It's not the same guy. But the fact that they got a guy to do the voiceover for a Real Women of Politics, wow, that's just too precious. And of course, the first face you see is Jethreen Bodine, who's been on a jihad against, trans people, the LGBTQ community generally, trans kids in particular, and even went so far as to ban the gender neutral term Latinx as opposed to Latino and Latina, because, you know, there are gender neutral Hispanic people too, even know some.
We win the politics
today.
And so the first three pictures are Governor Jethreen Bodine, Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw of Alabama, and Christy the Gnome from South Dakota.
Today we salute all the real woman leaders of this great country.
Real women don't have to fake it.
Real women don't have to fake what? Voiceover singing lady. And they've got some actors in there saluting, and they may very well be from, I don't know, the UK or something, because they got that, they got their palm up and facing outward. I don't think they teach that in basic training. You know? No. Oh, by the way, speaking of the UK, happy birthday. Happy birthday wishes going out to our dear friend Claire. I hope you had an absolutely wonderful birthday, and maybe some sunshine and pretty weather and just a nice time all the way around. I hope it was a wonderful day, Claire.
Real women doing real things.
Doing real things. And when they say real women doing real things, they fade into a shot of Governor Jethreen Bodine with her shotgun broke open and wearing her couture camo along with a black Labrador retriever.
Why does a Labrador retriever got to be black, Robin?
Dog just is. And sloshing around in a swamp somewhere because it's a gun. And then there's a picture of some real women hoisting green bottles of beer. Okay.
Real women work too hard for this.
Some big companies can't tell the difference between real and fake anymore.
Real people.
Which is accompanied by a video of a woman putting stuffed taxidermied fish into a box.
Know the difference.
That's why we're introducing the Real Women of Politics Koozie.
Real Women of Politics.
Now,
No shit. They are beer can koozies that have Real Woman on it, and it's a picture of, one of them is a picture of Governor Jethreen Bodine. Another one is a picture of Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw. And remember, Democrats didn't say this about her when she was running, but when she was running in the Republican primary, Republicans in Alabama said that Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw was an alcoholic lesbian. Don't shoot the messenger. And there's a can koozie with Christy the Gnome on it, and another can koozie with Kim Reynolds rap of Iowegia. God, this thing's almost halfway over. Matt in San Francisco says, that's not what I heard. I heard real women have been faking it since the beginning of time, but I'm a gold star gay, so I don't have any personal knowledge. It's just what I heard. It's a vicious rumor. Just go away. Not you, Matt, but yeah, okay. Yeah, that was great. Now go work on a car or something. Leave me alone.
Now, you can salute the real women of politics at every backyard barbecue and tailgate. And if it covers up the label of a big woke company, well, that works too. Order your Real Women of Politics koozie today.
And you know what? The rubes probably will. And they will pay $15 plus shipping for two of them. I don't know if you even, I don't even know if you get a choice. Could you have two Jethreen Bodines? Or could you have a Christine and a Reynolds wrap? Or a Jethreen and a Reynolds wrap? Or a gnome and a hee-haw meemaw? Or is it just like baseball cards where you get the same shitty bench warmer and the same crappy plank of bubble gum every time, no matter how many packages you buy? Not him again! Scott in San Diego says, how good is her aim? I don't trust Jethreen with a loaded shotgun. What with that drifting? That drifting, wandering eye of hers. the pale gimlet eye. The eye. The eye.
The all-seeing eye.
Is that her on the back of the dollar? Is that her eye on the back of the dollar bill, or is that just a vicious rumor? And so, having tweeted out the ad for her Real Woman koozie, she followed and said, and the first one said, real women don't have to fake it. You don't have to, but if you want him to just go the fuck away, you will. And then she followed it up with another tweet that said, we like our beer cold, not woke. It's just another day that I don't have a Jeroboam of Mexican gasoline down here with a swirly straw. That's all it is. It's just another day. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, real women of politics, my ass. That manly jawline on Sarah Huckleberry's face couldn't look more fake if it had a chin strap around it. Oh, wait a minute. That's cowbell because it's funny, but it's also cowbell because it harkens back to my favorite Real Men Are Genius ad. Here's to you, stud in a rug. You think it looks natural, but it couldn't look more fake if it had a chin strap on it. Maybe we should just run a bunch of those and just sort of cleanse our palate after all this is over. People had a lot of fun with this. Holy shit, this actually is real. Satire is dead. This is hilariously delusional. Cringiest thing I've seen all day. Then this, it's like a GOP horror comedy directed by Marge, produced by Carrie Lake, written by Boebert if she knew how to write, and enjoyed by Mike Lindell in his dark basement. The Cheeto dust glows in the dark. And of course, they were in fact all actors who were in fact faking it. Another individual pointed out, whoever you got to produce this pranked you hardcore, and you can't even tell. It's glorious. So, you know, Arkansas is another don't say gay state. And, of course, trying to cabbage on, there's a moron by the name of Seth Weathers, and he considers himself a CEO, and he's got two lifestyle brands. One of them's called Freedom Speaks Up, and another one called Conservative Body. But he's now gone into the beer business, and there's an ad for that. But it really is, it feels like satire is dead. Because this comes across as, this is a self-parody. It starts with Seth Weathers wearing some sort of a hoodie that says Freedom Speaks Up on it. And he's looking at a sign at a restroom that says women on it. And he looks back at the camera like a cow looking at a new gate.
America's been drinking beer from a company that doesn't even know which restroom to use.
Followed with some clips of poor little Dylan Mulvaney, who I personally think is just trying to craft a comedy career. She's transitioning, but she's hoping to have a real job. And I think she's got good comic timing. She's got a great... She really knows how to mug it up for the camera. Those are good qualities in someone who hopes to do film comedy or TV comedy. Buying beer from a company that doesn't even know which restroom to use. Sure, Seth, if that really is your name.
That's why I created Conservative Dad's Ultra-Right 100% Woke-Free Beer. As conservatives, we're constantly getting hit in the face, left and right.
Getting hit in the face, left and right. I wonder if they're getting hit in the face, left and right, in, say, the downstairs restroom of the Minneapolis International Airport. Remember Larry Craig? Remember the wide stance? He was a very conservative man, he was. Senator from Idaho.
By the woke mind virus. But the last place we want it is in our beer. If you know which bathroom to use, you know what...
Now he's carrying a baseball bat. You know what's coming next.
Beer you should be drinking. Stop giving...
I know which restroom to use. I go in the restroom, says women. I don't know any guys that go in there. And unless it's like a rock concert or a football game with an overflow, I don't know any women standing in line for the men's room either. These poor souls are so confused.
Money to woke corporations that hate our values.
Yeah, that's when he sets the can of Bud Light on a T-ball tee, because, you know, he probably couldn't hit it if it was just pitched to him underhanded. And he just wails the hell out of the Bud Light can, and they added some sound effects of, you know, an explosion.
And to the rest of you woke corporations, stay the away from our kids.
Stay the fuck... You know, I tell you what, Seth Weathers, stay the fuck away from trans kids. Stop spending all of your time, you sick fuck, thinking about trans kids' genitals. That would be a great start. And stop thinking about the trans adults' genitals, too. That would be awesome as well. Because they can't stop. And stop thinking about how gay people have sex and how bi people and pan people and lesbians. No, they're never going to. Guys like Seth are never going to stop thinking about lesbians having sex. I'm sorry, just not. I saw a clip from Rodney Dangerfield earlier, peace be upon him, in which he said, you know, I'm so old. When I have sex now, I want two girls. That way when I fall asleep, I've got somebody to talk to.
Buy yours online in 42 states at ultrarightbeer.com.
Tastes like freedom.
You know it tastes like shit, right? Because there's not a master brewer worth a damn that would work with these assholes. The old gag was, you know, Budweiser doesn't taste very good. And the answer was always, well, why do you think they've got all those big old horses? I'm guessing Seth Weathers has a barn full of weasels, because that stuff probably tastes like weasel piss. Satire. Scott in San Diego says, political satire became obsolete when Henry Kissinger was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Tom Lehrer, 1973. Genius. And meanwhile, our buddy John in southern Minnesota says, crap koozie. So we have the four governors of the apocalypse on a cheap piece of foam. Sounds like they know their audience. Yeah. Oh, and thank you for getting us started. Thank you to John in PA. How many tuckers does it take to change a light bulb? Answer, invalid. He only uses gas lighting. Ha. So that means we're off and running, trying to finish the month of April, and we are down to $2,190 to go. 2190. Thank you. Thank you, John. So very much. Thank you for getting us started. I appreciate it. I rather do enjoy the idiocy on a Morin Monday, but sometimes we have to deal with more serious stuff. The Associated Press reporting from Los Angeles that a federal grand jury has indicted a Houston man for phone calls that he placed to the office of Auntie Maxine, Representative Maxine Waters. And let me get that and that. I'm trying to preserve battery here on the iPad. He called Auntie Maxine's office several times, at one point in time saying that he wanted to cut your throat. That would be 60-year-old Brian Michael Garrity. Dude, come on, you're making us 60-year-olds look really bad. He's facing 4 counts of making threats in interstate communications and 4 counts of threatening a U.S. official. That, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in L.A., he was taken into custody the 13th of April on a criminal complaint filed by federal prosecutors for the threats and threats to Representative Waters, threats to other elected officials, and threats to a news reporter in Houston. Garrity called called Waters' office twice in August and twice in November and left a threatening message every time. The charging document, the indictment, says that he knowingly threatened to assault and kill Waters while she was engaged in the performance of her official duties. He showed up in court, was arraigned, and then walked away scot-free on $100,000 bond. Oh, I'm sorry. He just made an appearance. He wasn't arraigned. He'll be arraigned in the U.S. District Court in L.A. at some point in the next few weeks. Each of the 4 counts with which he is charged carries a potential 10-year federal prison sentence. That's on a threat to a federal official. Making threats in interstate communications has a max of 5 years. Here's hoping he gets all of them. What's that, Darlene? Darlene with a question. You sure about your Don Lemon theory? I read it was possibly his sexist comments about Nikki Haley. His comments got Poppy Harlow's ire up. Maybe CNN doesn't want to babble O'Reilly, Chris Matthews, Harry Rose. Oh, damn, the list is endless. Kind of scandal on their hands. Lemon is rather smug and superior in my book. Maybe he and his old buddy Chris Cuomo can reunite on some other news platform. Yuck. Yeah, that could be. That could be, Darlene. It just seems like there's a bit of attenuation between his comments about Nikki and the present day versus his comments last week, doing everything short of telling Vivek Ramaswamy to fuck right off, which I wouldn't have had a problem with, but you know, people are... news executives are famously chicken shit. So that's possible. And then there's another little piece of news out of the world of broadcast. A broadcast executive has been canned at NBC Universal. His name is Jeff Shell. And this is this story comes from Variety. And it feels an awful lot like a case of a buried lead, because you have to go paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs into the story to find out what is probably the most telling aspect of the story. In his mea culpa statement, Jeff Schell said, "Today is my last day as CEO of NBC Universal. I had an inappropriate relationship with a woman in the company, which I deeply regret. I'm truly sorry I let my Comcast and NBC Universal colleagues down. They're the most talented people in the business, and the opportunity to work with them the last 19 years has been a privilege." So he's been there for a while. But where'd he come from? Huh. Well, like I said, you got to go way down deep into the story to find out that he came to NBC Universal / Comcast from anybody? Wait for it. Sure. Fox. So at least in theory, he was probably at Fox at the same time that, Roger Ailes was there and saying he liked to see the women of Fox on trampolines because he wanted to see their panties. Because Roger Ailes did that, because Roger Ailes was a sleazebag. He assumed the role of CEO January 1, 2020, just before the pandemic. He was in charge of everything from news and entertainment, TV networks, to the film studio, theme parks, and other divisions. And the guy, this is what kind of flummoxes me. And it's a part of maybe male human nature that I do not and never have gotten understood. He's at the absolute pinnacle of his career, and he can go out on the town. He can strike up relationships with just about anybody he wants to. But it's well understood that he shouldn't be dating the help or the employees of the same. You don't shit where you eat. Neither do you copulate. Is this so hard to comprehend? I would hope, you know, within a community like ours, I would hope that it is not difficult to comprehend. So they don't say who the replacement's going to be, but on Sunday, as the shock of Schell's resignation reverberated around NBCU and the industry at large, Kavanaugh was said to have been on the phone quickly, talking to key clients and associates of NBCU. One source said Kavanaugh has sought to reassure contacts that he's been involved in the operations of NBC Universal for some time. And as I noted, maybe this is unfair and inappropriate, but dude also just happens to look like a Romulan extra on Star Trek, the original series. All that money, dude, and that's the shirt you buy? Dude, all that money, and that's the haircut you have? How difficult is it not to jump in the sack, especially when you're an older guy like him? How hard is it not to jump in the sack with your colleagues? if you're desperate, hire a gorgeous sex worker. Zip over to the Bunny Ranch or whatever in Nevada. I sincerely don't get it. The Kavanaugh previously referenced is Mike Kavanaugh, president of Comcast. He, along with Comcast CEO Brian Roberts, are the ones who gave the statement. Roberts said, "We are disappointed to share this news with you. We built this company on a culture of integrity." Oh, come on, you're Comcast, please. "Nothing is more important than how we treat each other. You should count on your leaders to create a safe and respectful workplace. When our principles and policies are violated, we will always move quickly to take appropriate action, as we have done here, and settlement negotiations are underway." I added the last part, but you know it's true. This should not be difficult, and yet somehow, it is. John in southern Minnesota, going back to that right-wing swill, con job beer, "This crap beer you're talking about is expensive. It's around $15 a six-pack and is only available for mail order. Good rule of thumb, if it tastes like freedom, it tastes like something shat out of an animal." Bottoms up. Hear, hear, John. $30 a case? And I bet that doesn't include shipping. Because it never does. So, well, I hope Jeff Shell has... he's not going to be eating rice and beans. Go somewhere for a while, maybe. Oh, and this little piece of disgusting news. You know, it seems like cops and priests have something in common. For years and years and years, the pedophilia problem inside the Roman Catholic Church got worse by virtue of the fact that instead of defrocking priests who fucked children, they would just move the priest to another parish where maybe the parishioners wouldn't know that there was a new child fucker in their midst until it was too late. Well, the same thing happens in cop world, too. Cop gets in trouble. Cop gets dismissed from the force. And then another cop agency somewhere else hires him back, even if he killed somebody. And everybody agrees that the killing he did was entirely wrong. Well, meet Miles Cosgrove. Yeah, you probably already know who you probably remember his name. Miles Cosgrove is the cop who, along with two of his other cop brothers, burst through the door of the apartment where Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend were both asleep. Miles Cosgrove is the guy who fired the bullet that, I don't care, I'm going to say it, murdered Breonna Taylor as she slept. The Louisville Police Department fired Miles Cosgrove. They fired him because of his gross breach of use of force rules in the Louisville Police Department. he was also fired because, well, he, for some reason, didn't have his body cam on. He discharged his service weapon 16 times. Then he had, when they canned him, he had the gall to file a legal appeal saying that he was unjustly terminated. And the judge hearing the case said, nope, the police department acted properly and within their rights. To this day, Miles Cosgrove has never faced even an instant's legal jeopardy for what he did in killing Breonna Taylor. And now, Miles Cosgrove has been hired by the Carroll County, Kentucky Sheriff's Office. Chief Deputy of Carroll County, Rob Miller, told the Louisville Courier-Journal that he was hired, I guess in the last week or so. Carroll County is about an hour northeast of downtown Louisville, has a population of around 10,000. And now the guy who slaughtered Breonna Taylor is going to be running around with a hot car and a gun again. Federal charges are still pending, but the sheriff's office picked him up because there were no there were no official charges. Because the Department of Justice didn't charge the man who actually fired the body or the bullet into the sleeping body of Breonna Taylor. The Justice Department said, well, they didn't know that lies had been told in the application for the search warrant. And therefore, when Carroll County ran his record, well, he came up clean. Chief Deputy Miller said, we think he will help reduce the flow of drugs in our area and reduce property crimes. We felt like he was a good candidate to help us in our county. Yeah, until he doesn't. I wonder if there will be any protests in Carroll County. I do not know. Oh, and speaking of violence against black women, this past week saw the murder of Rashida Williams. She was from Atlanta. And 4 months into 2023, she became the third trans woman to be murdered in that city. She was murdered last Tuesday evening at a shopping center southwest of Atlanta. The Atlanta PD said, upon arrival, officers located a female victim with an apparent gunshot wound. She was not alert, conscious, or breathing, and pronounced deceased on scene. Homicide investigators responded to the scene and are working to determine the circumstances surrounding the incident. Well, I suggest that the homicide investigators start in the legislature of the state of Georgia. because every single member of that governing body who has ever said a hateful word about trans people has blood on their hands. And the Montana state legislature can stick that up their ass sideways, because you're not allowed in Montana. You can't tell a maggot transphobe that they have blood on their hands, because then they get all butt hurt. Rashida was the latest victim of violence against black transgender women. D. Smith was the director of Kokomo City, a documentary chronicling the lives of Rashida and other trans women. She said she was the latest victim of violence against black transgender women. I created Kokomo City because I wanted to show the fun, humanized, natural side of black trans women. I wanted to create images that didn't show the trauma or the statistics of murder of transgender lives. The Atlanta Police Department in a statement said, while these individual incidents are not related, we are very aware of the epidemic-level violence that black and brown transgender women face in America. Our investigators have not found any indication the victim was targeted for being transgender or a member of the LGBTQ plus community, and these cases do not appear to be random acts of violence. It's heartbreaking. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation said Rashida Williams should be alive today. All transgender people deserve to live in safety and acceptance, beloved by their families, communities, and able to contribute to a world where all are more free. Meanwhile, in legislatures like that of Georgia, and Alabama, and Arkansas, and Tennessee, pasty-faced, doughy old white dudes whose browser histories are probably filthy with trans porn are probably a little bit gleeful. Well, there's one less of them. I think I need to see Kokomo City. It got a lot of accolades at Sundance this year. And D. Smith, by the way, is a Grammy-winning producer. She's also trans. She's produced for Lil Wayne, Andre 3000, Billy Porter. She said, in real life, trans women are funny. And we're sad, and we're sexy, and we have body parts that are our body parts. It's time to embrace that. Enough with the fortresses that are built around us, keeping us from fully joining society. But, you know, freedom. And meanwhile, out in Texas, the Texas Department of agriculture, has put out a memo saying all employees must dress in a manner consistent with their biological gender. And so this is a return to the Articles of Clothing rules and an attempt to set up a Supreme Court case to overturn the Bostock decision, which gave a modest amount of freedom in the workplace. Objective. An employee's appearance should reflect the culture, dignity, and professionalism of the Texas Department of Agriculture. I mean, these are literally shit kickers. All employees, regardless of assignment, are expected to present themselves in a professional manner that cultivates a favorable impression from co-workers, other government officials, agency customers, and the general public. Employees are expected to comply with this dress code in a manner consistent with their biological gender. Okay, my biology is female now, so, you know, fuck y'all. Basic elements for appropriate attire across the board consist of clothing that is neat and clean condition. Now, if we see any fellas showing up with lace cuffs or lace collars, we're sending you home. And they say, business attire should generally be utilized where employees will be interacting with the public and other government officials are testifying or making presentation on behalf of the agency. This would consist of traditional business wear, including Western business wear. The fuck? Western business, does that mean the cis women can wear those cute denim skirts with the fringe on the bottom and shit? I don't know. And the thing is, as is so often the case, this will be weaponized against cis women. Which is, unfortunately, how this all plays out entirely too often. So we've reached the halfway point of this Moran Monday, and we are Moran poor, are we not? And we have $2,190 to go to finish the month of April and four and a half programs to do it in. And, you know, I share with you what we're spending on. Because, well, I don't want you to think that we're refilling the Olympic-sized pancreas-shaped swimming pool or anything. No. Tires, brakes, bearings, power bills, water bills, phone bills, internet bills. It goes out faster than it comes in, so if you'd like to help out, that would be great. In the meantime, let's run over to the Skype line. Remember, new Skype address, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Okay? Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
Happy Monday.
Jury's still out, but no, it's a nice Monday.
And a tip of the old rabbit ears in your direction. I think that was quite the fine filler robster.
Well, thank you.
To get us launched on a new week.
Any particular favorites? Bobby Kennedy Jr., perhaps?
Oh, my God. I was too young, really, to vote. Well, obviously too young to vote for John Kennedy and couldn't vote for Bobby for president because they eliminated him. Was never a huge fan of Edward Moore Kennedy, sometimes known as Ted. But at least that generation had something to recommend it in terms of having a good head on their shoulders, first of all. And more often than not, falling on the right side of the argument, the correct side of the argument, the valid.
And a sense of public service.
Yeah. But it's something about the next generation or the generation after that that comes along with a lot of these families. It's just, it's icky. It's ooky and it's spooky, to quote the Addams Family song. I mean, ooh, just Calgon, take me away.
Here's his ancient secret. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Angels will tell you the secret.
But, well, I was trying to avoid doing the voice, but...
Well, I'm sorry. Get your little razor blade and snip that electronically.
Yeah, we'll fix that in post.
Yes, okay. Actually, the thing that prompted my call is sort of adjacent to the news about Tucker being invited to go away from his juicy gig there at Fox News. A couple of years ago, and I'm not sure if we talked about this at the time or not, but on HBO a couple of years ago, there was a multi-part documentary series called The Lady and the Dale about a trans woman who invented a three-wheel car that was supposed to revolutionize the automotive industry. Do you remember that show? Did you ever see it?
I did see it, and yes, I know whose daddy was involved in that.
Well, and see, that's what prompted it kind of when I heard the news about Tucker. See, there's an old saying, you've heard the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, in the case of Tucker Carlson, the road apple doesn't fall far from the horse's ass. And I refer to his daddy, Richard Carlson.
Wait a minute. Hold on. This is an art of word knowing moment. Is that the meaning of road apple?
Oh, yeah. Horse turd.
Son of a gun. 60 years, and I'm just now learning that.
Didn't you know that?
No.
Not everybody. Yeah.
No.
Well, I've heard that expression in relation to deposits that horses leave on the highways and byways. I'm surprised you did. God, I astound myself sometimes. But you got me off track. Where the hell was I going? Oh, yeah, The Lady and the Dale featured Tucker Carlson's daddy, who is now 82 years old, I think, 82, and was a TV anchor in Los Angeles there for a while, and was the ambassador to Seychelles, what's the name of that place?
Seychelles, S-A-Y-C-H-E-L-L-E-S.
Thank you. Because my spell check is in the shop. It's up on the rack as we speak. But anyway, he was the ambassador to that place, which I still can't spell, even though you laid it out for me, appointed by George H.W. Bush. But anybody who's, and I think it's probably still available, The Lady and the Dale, I'm telling you, you can see where, and why Tucker and his family didn't just stick with the frozen dinner money that Richard Carlson, the daddy, got from his second wife, who was heir to the Swanson's
TV dinners, yes.
Yeah. It's like, good God, you know, how much is enough money for these people? Is that just these people, those people?
I think you did, and justifiably so.
But anyway, I just good riddance to bad rubbish. And I'm sure he'll land at some more toxic media type outlet.
Well, okay, but let's unpack that for a minute. What is that more toxic media? I mean, is that going to work for the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells?
Oh, it the way that
does
they
he
pop
have a big
up,
enough platform?
They're like toadstools on cow patties, Robin. Now you have heard of cow patties, okay? After a heavy rain, they pop up like toadstools and mushrooms on cow patties. These right-wing, crazy talk media-type outlets. I mean, you just can't keep track of them. They're so numerous, and he'll land somewhere because they always do. And I just it'll probably be some, you know, Fox.
I have this nagging sensation that he's going to wind up broadcasting on Twitter for Leon Scum.
I always get the names confused. Who do you mean when you say Leon Scum?
It's an anagram for Elon Musk.
Oh, okay. Well, who knows? I mean, it's just they never go away. They just never really go away. They just relaunch under some new banner and get more hateful, you know, in the transition. But I was going to share something. I kind of got sidetracked. I was going to share something with you that I
– Sorry.
Always, one of the things that I like about you and the rest of the Horn congregation is we all always like to learn something new. And there's a twice weekly podcast that I see on YouTube. I don't recommend it because I only agree with what these people say about 38.5% of the time. They're a little bit righty for my taste and appreciation, but occasionally they have a topic that is of interest. And so I was watching the latest episode where they talk about the life and career of one Anton LaVey. Do you remember who Anton LaVey was?
Off the top of my head, no.
He was the founder of the Church of Satan.
Okay.
Okay. And anyway, the topic this time around was Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan. And they did a pretty good job. I learned a few new things. One of the things I learned, I guess you could say this is from the Devil You Say department. Apparently, in the Church of Satan, those who attain the fifth degree level of study and practice are known as MAGA.
M-A-G-A?
M-A-G-A. Take that for what it's worth.
Well, that would be the feminine form of the Latin magus. Magus.
Yeah. And what does that mean? Was that a god's name or a person's name?
No, it's I guess you would say some form of practitioner of magic.
Oh, magic. Yeah. No, that rings a bell.
John Fowles wrote a brilliant novel. The same guy who wrote The French Lieutenant's Woman. Brilliant, simply called The Magus. And it is, wow.
Yeah, but these, and I've nothing against practitioners. We have freedom of belief in this country. I don't know why, but we do. Because there's all manner of crazy things that people believe. We've gone down this rabbit hole before. And that belief is such a tricky word, as you've described many, many times. Because it's all encompassing. You can be just as twisted as somebody's twisted sister, and have this thought process going on in your head, where the spirochetes are screaming and yelling, and the whatever else is going on in there is screaming and yelling. And by the time you open your mouth, who knows what manner of nonsense is going to come forth. I mean, I give you Mr. Trump, for crying out loud. And it's up to you to decide what to do with him. I wouldn't recommend nominating or voting for him if you can avoid it. Because we've been down that road enough, and I don't need a second.
Yeah, and it's rocky and full of, well, it's full of potholes and, well, road apples.
Oh, yeah, and cow patties and all kinds of icky things.
Yeah, Matt in San Francisco writes, Scott's scat. Scott's points today seem to be very scat-focused. Is there something Scott needs to tell the Horn family about?
No, I'm fine in that department. I canceled my tanker car shipment of Pepto for this month, so I'm okay. I'm A-okay in the intestinal department. But anyway, I guess I'm glad to see Tucker go. Not that I watched him. I think in all the years that Fox News has been on the air, if you added up all the minutes that I've spent tuned to that number on the dial, I would say an hour or possibly a little bit less.
I would agree with you. I mean, my number is probably higher just because of the number of stupid clips that I've run from them on this program.
Yeah. And there's no real reason.
But I never watch it in real time because I like my little brain cells.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, these are precious. That's one of our precious resources. But I don't know. I just tremble at the thought that he's going to land somewhere else, and it's going to be he's going to have a new following, and be more outrageous because he won't be under the same type of corporate umbrella.
Well, that's why I floated the idea of him going to work for Leon Scum. There will be no constraints. There will be no rules. He can call anybody anything. He can actively call for people like me to be gunned down in cold blood. There will be no rules.
Well, aside from Twitter, does Musk have a media company that's in the world?
No. He just has an embarrassing amount of money.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And he has Twitter. And you can broadcast video on Twitter.
Well, yeah, I guess you can. See, I don't have Twitter. I tried it.
There's one fundamental problem. And that means, and that is that somehow or another, he's going to have to get Emery and Marvelline to get on Twitter.
Oh, see, new technologies for certain people.
Right, and Emery and Marvelline are still still trying to get their VCRs to quit blinking 12.
Well, and there's an easy way to do that, but you got to know how. And read the instructions. I mean, the reading part trips them up, I think. Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I was really kind of surprised that there was that parting of the ways. I didn't see that coming. I don't know anyone who did. Although, I liked your the bit earlier in the show about the Budweiser. You're on the same page as John Oliver was last night. If you didn't see his program on HBO last night, he did a nice long piece about the outrage over the Budweiser people trying to broaden their customer base. And he I am astounded at how brilliant that show is from week to week, consistently just spot on.
His writing team is among the best in the business, if not the best in the business.
There's a slew of them. Have you ever seen the credits? There's got to be 24 people.
Yeah, and they're all brilliant.
Yes, they truly are. But anyway, that's other than Tucker going the way of that he's being sent. I don't know what else to add to the conversation.
Jeremy offered up this. Make no mistake, this was a payday for Tucker. I'm sure his contract was paid out as he left the building. Fox didn't spend a dime on the lawsuit. Their insurance company paid that out.
Yeah.
I don't know that the insurance paid for that because it was intentional conduct. And Fox had to show in court what their cash on hand was. And they said they had about $4 billion in the petty billions drawer. So it probably came out of Fox revenue. But here's the thing. And again, I said this way before the for-profit media started mentioning it. They're going to write off a shit ton of it. So that means the American taxpayer is on the hook.
Yeah, they'll take up the slack.
Something like, $787.5 million. And I think the amount that they're going to be able to write off on their taxes as the cost of doing business is something around $300 million.
And see, when they've got...
We need to understand that is... I mean, that comes out of our hide, okay? Because that's taxes that Fox won't be paying.
And how much did you say was in the petty cash drawer?
$4 billion.
See, now when you're talking about numbers like that, the average person is doing the best they can to keep body and soul together on a week to week. Hell, sometimes
I know a little about that, and I know you do too. Everybody in this community knows about that.
Yeah, I've never once heard the beeping sound of the money truck being backed up to my front stoop. And bags of cash laid out for me on a regular, predictable basis. I've never heard that sound. I don't know that I would want to hear it, because after a while you kind of get used to the grind.
No, but I'll be quite candid. I would like to not have to make the choices I have to make between a dead water heater, bearings needing replaced, tires needing replaced, brakes needing replaced, the ordinary bills of just every freaking day, and constantly balancing the ever-present feud between Peter and Paul, you know.
And that's what every
ordinary American is doing.
Well, yeah, and when you think about the people who are attracted to these right-wing outlets, they are in the same boat as everybody else, maybe even a leakier boat, in terms of keeping body and soul together on a day-to-day basis. And they don't realize, I don't think, that they are just being lied to and put upon on an informational and intellectual level that keeps them where they are, if not make them worse. And they buy into these things, like you say, hook, line, and sinker.
The condemned ate heartily, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, Haley just wrote in, and she said, Emery and Marvelline still haven't figured out where the HD channel tier on cable is located, so fearful of those 100 series channels.
Oh, yes. Those high numbers. Yeah, I don't know.
Emery, when did our TV start going over 13?
Oh, that was in the early 60s, I think. Is that UHF? There's VHF, which is the regular channels up to 13, and then the high channels are UHF, and some of that got lopped off, I think, for cellular or emergency.
Yeah, it was it. Well, what was it? Was it you that wrote in that, like, the AM band exists between channels 6 and 7 on the old TV?
I know that the audio on television is technically FM. I don't know what it is in the digital age, but in the old school analog days, the visual was on one part of the spectrum and the audio of television signals was somewhere on the FM spectrum. Just thinking back on, it's been a while since I had to study about that, but to me, the airwaves are sacred because there are so few of them in the spectrum, and there ought to be more responsible use of them, given that they're the public airwaves. I'm not talking about cable necessarily, because that's a different animal, although that too ought to be, I don't know if regulated would be the right word, but it's like playing football. They don't put those lines on the field and those boundaries and markers just to give somebody something to do during the pregame.
They're not there for show, and they are not advisory.
And they're indicators of whether someone wins or loses and or how much progress or regress they're making in the course of the game. Okay? And there needs to be some kind of oversight in terms of verifiable information.
Well, the problem arises, Scott, with the rise of cable. And what I mean by that is that over-the-air broadcast is subject to FCC regulation.
True, yes.
That's what that whole blurb is about. You know, you can put a letter on file with the FCC that you may have done the voiceovers for it at one point.
The old public file, yes.
Yeah. Cable and internet, I mean, that's why I can say all the fun words here. Because the FCC can't do a goddamn thing about it.
Yeah.
They can fuck off into the sun. And so Fox, you know, we've done this a lot of times, but because there are still people out there, and I kind of do the Captain Picard head in the hands thing every time I see it. We need to bring back the fairness doctrine. Well, okay, but that's been gone since Reagan.
That ship sailed
and sunk.
Ago.
That was not the beginning of Fox. I mean, the fairness doctrine did not create Fox.
No.
The Telecommunications Act of 1996 made Fox possible.
Yeah, and we know who was in charge then, and we know who pushed that legislation.
And who signed it?
Well, yeah.
And so that's what allowed that's what made the world safe for Rupi to pour poison in the ears of America.
Now, maybe you know, or maybe one of the Horn family knows, because I frankly wasn't paying a lot of attention when cable casting was really getting underway in a big way. In the, let's see, when did HBO come along? 75, something like that? I mean, cable has been around in some areas of the country because of the issue of terrain in a geographic area. They needed local cable systems to get a reliable, watchable TV picture into the homes of people who lived in the hills and the hollows of that terrain, okay? So cable's been around a lot longer, but in its current form, as we understand it today, with 500 channels and nothing on, that's a relatively recent phenomenon. Now, when they, what I don't know, and I'm not sure on, and maybe you do know or someone knows, when they were setting up cable casting in this country in terms of the way it was going to be handled, did they even look at the idea of having it fall under the FCC or some entity's umbrella? Or was it so different a form
I can't. It was also localized because...
Well, yeah, the franchises.
And so I can't say for sure.
Well, maybe someone knows the history of that, because I frankly don't recall ever knowing that.
I mean, I remember...
It just seems like there ought to be more decorum than just your average Saturday night free-for-all. You know, I mean, no, I'm not saying censor what people say, but people to some extent need to be held accountable for what they say, especially if it's not in the realm of reality-based reality. Or am I being too stringent?
I certainly don't want... this would be a very different program. I don't come on here and just... drop F-bombs left and right and the brown word and whatnot.
Oh, but you should.
But if the... I like having those tools available in my verbal toolkit. And as a consequence of that, this would be a different program if I had to do it as though it were subject to FCC censorship. Because we've seen how that is used as a cudgel. Remember Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction?
Oh, the Nipplegate. Yes, I do.
And there have always been ugly little outfits like that one run by that one guy, L. Brent Bozo.
What's his name?
I call him L. Brent Bozo.
Yeah.
Because he's such a clown. And he was constantly having conniptions about who kissed whom, or, I mean, if I recall correctly, L. Brent Bozo absolutely lost his mind, such as he had, way back when in the 90s when Ellen kissed a girl.
I knew you were going to say Ellen. Yeah. Oh, God. And they... Didn't they try to boycott one of the sponsors, like Kodak or something?
Oh, they boycotted. Right, yeah.
Well, see, these people who are, quote, moralists, who want to be the arbiters of what should and should not be seen and or heard, don't they realize that there are several switches on every device?
No, they don't care, because they're not doing it because they care about public morals. They've got money behind them to do it with, and so they are doing it because it's a good dollar. Everything is capitalized in this country.
Not according to the nuns who used to teach me the alphabet, Robin.
How did I know you were going to go there?
The first word in the sentence, the first letter of the first word in the sentence is usually capitalized. And proper
names
are.
Yeah.
And... the saints' names, obviously. You have to italicize those.
Well, I didn't know about the italics, but...
No.
Well, is that even if they're not Italian saints?
Well,
I mean, I could see putting Italian saints in italic.
Well, if the word comes from Rome, you can't get away from the Italian connection. So, at least according to Sister Tarsicius.
Tarsicius.
My second grade teacher.
I know, yes.
She was the one who farted.
I remember, yes.
But I'm not going to go down that road.
Sister Tarsicius of the sacred flatulence.
Yes, the lady of our extended flatulence. But anyway,
everything becomes a matter of money. So all of these, I mean, you remember Bill Donahue, the Catholic League?
William Donahue?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
At one point in time, the Catholic League was him and an old Smith Corona typewriter. That was it. And he just sat banging out press releases day after day. And the next thing you know, people are bringing him on news programs as if he has anything legitimate to say.
And it's probably a nonprofit type organization. So sure. He's got tax dodges and benefits.
And then the money rolled in, and it was a good grift. And the next thing you know, he's throwing conniptions over a chocolate Jesus with a white chocolate loincloth that you could see his little chocolate Jesus bits under.
Jesus has naughty bits?
They really did. They really did mislead you in Catholic school, didn't they?
They didn't cover that. Well, they did cover it, is why I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah.
This was the virgin birth.
That guy got run out of New York City and had to go into hiding because he had his rabid fan base ready to kill.
Literally?
Yes. And you remember Piss Christ?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The more outrageous it is, the more the money would roll in. And so, I mean, my God, look at Jerry Falwell. The moral majority couldn't bring enough money, bring enough people in to count the money as fast as it rolled in.
Did I ever tell you what I used to do to old Jerry's moral majority?
No.
I got on their mailing list. Now, they started back in 77, 78, somewhere in there. And for reasons that I don't even remember, I got onto their mailing list. And there for a while, they would send you their monthly pitch about what they were up to and why I should buy into that and send them money. And for years, they had a little postage paid envelope included in the request letter. Okay. And what you do is you get a bag from the grocery store, Safeway brown bag or whatever. Take a standard construction brick and wrap it up good in double layers of the brown paper bag.
I was going to say, were there road apples involved? I mean,
No. Seal it.
The password is road apple.
Seal it up. This standard construction, one of them red bricks, or you can get white ones if you want. Don't get the ones with holes in them because that's less weight.
Okay. As long as it's not one of the first one of those first bricks thrown at Stonewall by a banker and an FBI agent.
Well, we're back to Stonewall again in the bricks. Okay. But anyway.
And my brick.
What you would do is wrap it up in the brown paper, seal it with heavy duty tape, and then slap that postpaid envelope on it and drop it in a mailbox. And they'd have to pay whatever the first class rate was on the weight of the package consisting of a brick in brown paper. And then apparently enough people were doing that to where they said, well, we got to stop sending out the postpaid envelopes. Let them get a stamp and lick it, you know? So anyway, I thought that was rather clever. It probably broke some law along the way, but, you do what you got to do sometimes. When they're too big to fight physically, you got to add a little wit to it.
Wonder how long it took them to wise up.
Oh, I'm sure if enough people did it, and I think that was an old trick that they used to use on one of the news magazines in the 60s because they didn't like their stance on the Vietnam War or conflict, as it was then called. And they did that then. And I just took it and kind of refreshed it and repurposed it for old Faultless and him and his moral majority. How's your moral majority doing now, Moses? So, anyway, channeling my inner Edward G. Robinson.
Yes.
Where's your Moses now?
Where's your Moses now? Well, you will be glad to know that, and if past is prologue, and we've seen them machine gun cases of Bud Light now. We have seen them blow up Yeti coolers filled with Tannerite.
Yeah.
We have seen them set fire to Nike shoes. All manner, because, you know, they're maggots and they're Otne Ute. I'd pray if you owe me what I mean.
Oh, well, this goes all the way back to Beatles records.
Yeah, well, yes, yes, it does. Well, now, in addition to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., there are fresh hissies being thrown over testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson, man of masculinity. Glenn the Beckerhead, when he was streaming today, said, "I think that'll kill Fox. Wherever Tucker Carlson goes, America will follow." That was Lauren Bobblehead Boebert. "Thank you for being one of the greatest and most powerful voices in the conservative movement." And then there was Matt Pube's Face Walsh. "Well, disastrous moment for Fox News." Now, this dude just got his entire world hacked last week. "Tucker was by far the most important and relevant figure at the network, and in all of cable news."
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. This is the guy who said he would rather die than have a kid be trans.
"Do you think we can get him a group rate? Just get a couple of buses, charter buses, and send them all in for regrooving? The whole crew of them."
I don't know if there are enough regrooving machines.
Oh, listen, we'll ship them from China. That's where they come from anyway.
And then Eric the Dumber chimed in and said, "First it was Laura Trump, then Dan Bongino, now Tucker Carlson. What is happening to Fox?" And Trader Tot jumped out and did a spot with Charlie Kirk, the man with the huge head and tiny mouth, over on Real America News. This is fun.
"Day, first Don Lemon is out. That's not as important. But Lemon. Tucker Carlson out at Fox News. Your reaction?"
"I mean, I think it changes things permanently. That's one of the few voices in the Republican Party that would call out the nonsense from GOP senators, governors, and otherwise. An actual thought leader in conservatism. And, you know, the whole thing is, it's actually mind-blowing to me, and I guess, and to everyone else, given what you've seen happen to Fox's market cap in the last few hours."
Yep.
"So,
$1 billion
I hope whatever he does, he continues to be that voice for conservatism, because, again, he's one of the few people pushing those boundaries. One of
Sucker.
The few people, actually speaking to independents and across the aisle and winning them over with facts, logic, and reason. I think he's probably, you know, a once-in-a-generation type talent."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
"And to see him go is mind-boggling."
I don't know what they're thinking. The company is down $1 billion.
The guest, would you identify that speaking, the guy who gave us this little speech?
No, that was Trader Tot.
Now, who is that? I'm not on to all the...
Don Jr.
Oh, is that who that... Okay, well, somebody needs to... His wardrobe people need to take a look at the label on the back of his BVDs and find out whether they're the right size. He's got pressures in areas that are causing his voice to do something weird. I thought things are a little tight down there.
You know, there's an old joke that goes with that.
Oh, go ahead.
There's a guy who has these terrible headaches, and they're persistent. They just won't go away, and he tries everything. He's been to all the doctors. He's tried all the medications.
These are eye-crossingly bad.
Yes, they're crippling.
Yes.
And... This is like, no. They're just bad. And so he finally goes to a doctor who says, "Listen, we've tried everything. I think there's one last thing, but it's going to be really rough for you. But it'll probably make the headaches go away." He said, "Anything, doc, anything." He says, "Well, you're probably going to need an orchiectomy." He goes, "What's that?" He goes, "Castration." He goes, "Oh, no."
He Yikes.
Said, "But it'll make the headaches go away?" And the guy says, the doctor says, "Yeah." And he goes, "Sign me up, schedule me." So it's not a complicated procedure. And he's, you know, he's up and about, and, you know, it's outpatient, so he's leaving the same day, and his doctor comes by, checks him out, makes sure those, all the incisions are okay and everything. And he says, now listen, this is a big thing for you, and you're going to, you need to just be good to yourself. Go out and, I don't know, go out and buy yourself something nice. Go out and do something, you know. Maybe go get a new wardrobe or something. You know, the guy wasn't broke or anything. So, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Maybe. So he goes to a tailor. And the tailor says, he takes, you know, the sleeve measurement and the barrel of the cuff measurement and inseam measurement. And he gets his, gets ready to put the tape measure around the guy's neck. And he goes, no, 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 I already know. I'm a 15 and a half collar. And he goes, he puts it around. No, you're a 16 and a half. He goes, I've been a 15 and a half for as long as I've been an adult. And the tailor just looks at him and says, you know what? I bet you have some terrible headaches.
Yes.
Sorry. Long way to go. Maybe no. Worth it. I don't know.
I lost my list of the numeric.
That's 52.
Is that 52? I couldn't remember.
52.
I couldn't remember.
No, you told it wrong.
Yeah.
So, in addition to the, I don't know, are the maggots going to blow up televisions now? I mean, here's one dude who says, just canceled Fox Nation. I'm done with Fox. And then, because, of course, there's Glenn Greenwald, who turns everything he ever comments on into a seventh grade slap fight. Tucker was the cable host who most opposed U.S. proxy war in Ukraine, denounced CIA, FBI, and DHS for its systemic lies and corruption, devoted himself to a pardon for Julian Assange, objected to regime change efforts in Cuba, criticized Trump administration's militarism.
If the guy was so smart, why didn't he encrypt his inter-office emails?
Well, there's that.
I mean, come on.
And then Green Glenwald continued, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Fox, there was extreme, even fundamental disagreements between Tucker and Hannity on those key issues. The kind of internal debate unthinkable in any other network, in lockstep. I'd wager the new 8 p.m. host will be far more aligned with Hannity, standard GOP. I'm not making claims yet on what caused this separation. I'm just noting the removal of Tucker means the elimination of the only real sustained dissent on U.S. militarism, the U.S. security state, and more. Laura and Jesse Waters are the only others in primetime near that.
What?
Oh, somebody wants to be booked. It's kind of like Carrie Lake with Joe and me. Somebody wants to be booked.
Since I'm not a Fox viewer, what sort of bench do they have? I don't even know who's there anymore.
Well, you know, the daytime. Okay, there's Fox and Fiends in the morning. And then the midday afternoon drive is the closest they get to hard news. And then the evening lineup is just ugly-ass right-wing propaganda.
Well, who's going to get the time slot, I guess, is what I'm asking.
We don't know. You know, they've got somebody who isn't, who's in the works, you know, because the right wing has a bench.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, who do they have to pick from? Unless you're going to.
Well, I mean, anybody somebody they want, you know. But they're not. But remember, the Smartmatic case is still out there.
Yeah.
So they're not going to bring in any election deniers, and they're not going to bring anybody in who has passed emails saying, God damn, I fucking hate Donald Trump. Oh, I hate him so bad. Because what they're trying to do is bring the maggots back.
If the Smartmatic thing does go to trial,
it won't.
But if it did, Tucker, even though he's no longer associated with that corporation, that doesn't alleviate him from testifying should it go to trial and he be called, you know, to testify. It could get all kinds of interesting before it's over. I mean, you may be right and it won't go to trial, but I would love to see it on one level.
And the one thing that Green Glenwald and none of these other mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freaks noted is that Tucker got sued. Abby Grossberg sued him. Okay?
She was the former producer?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And said he, and maybe it was too, maybe it was triggering for Rupi and Lockie, but Abby Grossberg said that the workplace subjugated women, was misogynist, anti-Semitic, and Fox News is denying her claim that they have no merit. But after the way that other women at Fox went about the business of documenting everything, they probably already know better. But the suit papers say that Tucker ran a work environment that subjugates women based on vile sexist stereotypes.
Well, did they learn nothing from the case of, was it Gretchen Carlson? And
yes, Roger that's what Ailes? I just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the old kick of a mule. Usually the first one, you'll get a hint as to what is going on. Was it Lincoln or Mark Twain? Somebody was saying there's very little profit or learning.
In the second kick of the mule, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, well, I guess you've got $4 billion in the fucking cash box in the secretary's desk. You don't think along these lines, but money is a, you only need a couple of these cases and judgments or verdicts or whatever. And then it starts to deplete the funds. So I don't know. I just.
But they're making $1 billion a year.
Yeah, I just, those numbers. When you talk numbers like that, I can't even fathom it.
Well, that's. So that's a factor in all of this that none of those numbnuts were mentioning because they're sexist misogynists too. But I wanted to bring up something else because the capacity, you know, there was Green Glenwald saying, you know, he pushed back against the FBI. No, he helped instigate January the 6th, so there's that. If that's pushing back against the FBI, you know, whatevs. But there's a movie out now. It is I guess it's a romance of sorts. I haven't seen it. But law enforcement in this country are having a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy and kittens with crocheted tails over this film because of its title. The title is How to Blow Up a Pipeline.
Is this in theaters?
I don't know.
It's streaming. I've never heard of it.
Neither had I until I saw this story about the hissy that law enforcement's having.
Did you say it's a romance?
Yeah, I don't. It's the fictional story. I don't know. There was a picture of people kissing. The story of a group of idealists planning to bomb an oil refinery source takes its name from the 2021 political book as well as its call to arms, Sense of Purpose.
So it's based on a true story?
No. No, it's just based on an activism book, I guess you'd call it.
Huh. And what's the name again?
How to Blow Up a Pipeline. And so, no less, according to Rolling Stone, no less than 35 different law enforcement agencies have put out bulletins. The FBI's Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate has said, the film has potential to inspire threat actors to target oil and gas infrastructure with explosives or other destructive devices. And they sent it out all over the country.
these people Siskel, Ebert all of a sudden?
Yeah, I guess. It's a dramatized fictional version of a nonfiction book by the same name published nearly 3 years ago. Then there was some dude at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. They keep adding stuff. It used to be the ATF. Now it's the ATFE.
The consensus amongst law enforcement and the private oil sector is that this film may motivate attacks or disruptions on critical infrastructure throughout the country.
That was their bulletin on March 21st.
See, I never
the
really...
The Kansas City Regional Fusion Center sent out a warning, among other places.
Wait, what is that? The Kansas City Regional...
Fusion Center.
I lived in Kansas City for 10 years, and I never heard. What do they do?
I've got no idea.
Unless they're selling barbecue, they have no business being around in Kansas City.
Oh, you will be so happy. I know you don't have Apple TV.
No, I could get it, but I'm.
Well, no spoilers. But at one point in time, in Amsterdam, someone brings the title character Ted Lasso. It's a restaurant in Amsterdam, and someone brings him a. They said, you know, we also have a list of 25. World famous sauces. And he said, surprise me. And she comes back and hands him a bottle of Arthur Bryant's Kansas City barbecue sauce.
Oh, baby, good choice.
And he said, why'd you bring this to me? Because he's from Kansas. Why'd you bring this to me? And she said, because it's the best in the house.
For my money, I've always enjoyed it.
And
oh God, now I want barbecue.
I understand. I do. I've been having a barbecue yearning lately.
Have you ever? Did I send you? I don't know if I sent you a bottle of Bryant sauce or not.
No.
Or whether I intended to. I know I sent a bottle to somebody.
Is it sweet?
Well, they have a couple of different types. The original is my go-to because it's tangy and spicy and kind of. I just like it, and I've tried the.
Yeah, you feel about Arthur Bryant's barbecue sauce the way I feel about Dreamland sauce from Tuscaloosa.
No,
it's thin, it's
like?
Tangy, it's got a little bit of a spice kick to it, and almost zero carbs.
And it's called Dreamland.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there is nothing better on this earth on pulled pork.
Can you order it by mail?
Because you can. You can get it from Amazon.
I may.
It's thin.
Well, I may get myself a bottle of that and a bottle of Bryant's original and do my own little taste test.
I would love to hear the results of that.
Because, I mean, you know, Bryant's, just to me, it spoils you from anybody else. I know that the great controversy in the Kansas City area is which barbecue joint has the most popular or the best. And it's all subjective. There are some people who like Gates. There are some people who like Masterpiece, I think was another company.
Yeah, they sold out. They went woke. They're in Walmart now, Casey Masterpiece.
Yeah.
And it's thick and gooey, and I don't like thick, gooey, sweet barbecue sauce. God, no.
And I'm sure that there's a place for sweet, like brown sugary sauces and, you know, ointments and unguents. Dab a little behind each ear to feel pretty or something. But I just, to me, it's Bryant's or nothing. But Dreamland, is that the name of it again?
Yes, Dreamland barbecue sauce. You can even buy it in grocery stores in Alabama.
I'm going to look that up because I'm about due for some. Somebody sent me some Arthur Bryant's a while back, and. It's like time to buy more. So
well, you can even order slabs of Dreamland's famous for its ribs, not its pulled pork. And you can order slabs of their ribs, and they will deliver them to you on dry ice. They're brutally expensive.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
but they're so good.
There's a place Cincinnati that will send you. Is it Montgomery?
Montgomery Inn.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's Mom and Em?
But I'll tell you, I haven't priced them for maybe 10 years. But when I looked the first time, I said, holy shit. I mean, you'd have to go down the bank and take out a loan to buy a box of ribs or whatever.
Well, to get back to our story, so the Kansas City Fusion Center says there's a developing threat with this movie.
Oh, the pipeline movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, a retired FBI agent named Mike German told The Intercept, the performance metric is the number of reports you write rather than the accuracy of them. What do you do after you write reports on realistic threats? Pretty soon you have to start writing about imaginary ones. Lots come straight from the fever swamps of social media.
Oh, there's that.
But the conniptions are seemingly endless. And there's nothing, the thing is, the movie doesn't have anything in it about how to blow up a pipeline. And the director says it's a work of fiction that addresses one of the real world's most pressing issues by telling a story about eight characters who believe that destroying an oil pipeline is an act of self-defense. That audiences have so strongly connected with it only demonstrates the gravity of the climate crisis and reinforces our urgent need to address it. Okay?
Now, the book... See, I'm confused.
The book is nonfiction. It's a book about activism.
Oh, okay, okay. Not an act, but activism.
Right.
Okay. Now I got it now.
And Jake Weiner is the counsel for the Electronic Privacy Information Center. And he said, on the whole, these documents reflect law enforcement's extremely biased approach to threat assessment, which has chronically underreported the threat of right-wing violent extremism and focused unnecessarily on environmental movements. I mention that, Scott, because it just so happens that in the stack today is another story. Headline, neo-Nazis wanted to attack U.S. power grid. Instead, they're going to prison. Well, yay, I guess. Christopher Brenner Cook, age 20, Jonathan Allen Frost, 24, met in an online chat room largely dedicated to neo-Nazis, and they traded white supremacist literature and eventually began planning attacks on power stations in multiple regions of the country using rifles.
Yeah, taking shots at the grid, the thing that hums.
Right. And so... they plan to cause mass chaos by taking down the power grid. But the thing is, these Nazis have not been busted for actually doing anything. They've been busted for planning them. Meanwhile, these are the very domestic terrorists that Jake Weiner was talking about. Chronically underreported the threat of right-wing violent extremism, focused unnecessarily on environmental movements. And so these guys were busted, and they will go to prison. And this comes back to that concept that I've talked about on the program in the past called accelerationism. This Nazi notion that we got to get with it. Let's bring on, you know, let's make everything go to shit, and then we can have our little Nazi paradise.
Well, and see, the thing is,
going
to prison is more a networking opportunity for these guys than it is a punishment. Wouldn't you say? Because they hook up with others of like mind who are already in there. And unless the guards and the administration is paying close attention to what they're up to out in the yard or, you know, the laundry room or whatever.
Right. They're going to criminal university.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the dudes is going up for 7 years. Another one's going up for 5. And the third guy hasn't been sentenced yet. Here's the problem, though. These guys were just planning. Several of these attacks have already been executed. We know what happened in Moore County, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Just a few months ago. 40,000 people out of power because a theater was going to hold a drag show.
Yeah.
They still haven't solved that crime. And so presumably the perps are still walking around, and for all we know, plotting the next one. And everybody seems to be of like mind insofar as the thinking is that these are, in fact, accelerationist Nazis who are doing these things. You know, there were some of these in the Great Northwest. But meanwhile, the conniptions are about a fictional film.
The guy who said that
they failed to focus on right-wing extremism and obsess over environmental groups went on to say, several documents also fit a long-running pattern of using unrelated instances of far-right violence to justify surveilling and criminalizing left-of-center political organizing. This kind of low-quality analysis is common and dangerous because it can prime police to overreact to non-threatening activities and justify wrongful surveillance. And they're having the hissy over pipelines and refineries, oil, hydrocarbons, the very things that are killing the ability of this planet to support human life. Meanwhile, at the Department of Homeland Security, a senior official there, nameless, spoken to by Rolling Stone, said, films, books, video productions, and their distribution channels are protected by the U.S. Constitution. With certain films and books that seem to promote violence and destruction to our critical infrastructure, we urge that our stakeholder partners practice greater vigilance and action on the tactics, techniques, and procedures that we know produce improvements in physical security. What is most important is that we take steps to enhance security posture and continue to monitor conditions for specific and credible threats. And I'm perturbed now, Scott. I'm concerned. Because now that this is out there, I can see some right-wing asshat, some freedom protector with his freedom protecting shooting iron penis extensions, walking into a screening of this film and letting loose with his AR-15. I shouldn't even say that out loud because, you know, the goddess of irony, please, no.
Well,
but you get my point.
It would be an unheard of thing, is what you're saying. It's within the realm of
this is America. Some people go to movies go to the theater to watch movies. Others go to shoot people watching the movies.
Well, do you remember what you're talking? See, I have no problem with the intelligence and the law enforcement agencies paying strict attention to what people are up to, okay? I think we kind of learned that in the wake of 9/11. You know, when you're napping on a job or disregarding warnings that are there to be found, well, especially January 6th, they were certainly napping in some areas on that. But I think it's a good idea to be aware of what, and I don't think it's too strong a word to say enemies of the country, enemies of domestic tranquility are up to. I don't really have any problem with that. But you can't just be focusing on the left side of the spectrum. You've got to look at whoever's up to these nefarious deeds, whether they're in the planning stages or if they're in the truck on the way to the party, you know? And I don't think I'm being too right wing or radical wanting to protect the infrastructure and protect the peace and tranquility of the people. Because, see, they're all of these groups, all of these terrorists, these right wing terrorists, they're waiting. It's like a race car day at Talladega. They're waiting for the fucking flag to be waved, for the cars to start revving around the track, and some of them are literally jumping the gun. You know, based on what you're telling me about this case where two of them are going to prison and we're waiting to hear on the third one. They're out there, and people should make no mistake about their presence out there. And sometimes they're as close as your own fucking family. You know?
Yeah.
This is no newsflash. I mean, there are lots of radicalized people in this country, and there needn't be. And I am all for keeping an eye on the ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, same. It's just that I feel like maybe we're taking our eyes off the actual ne'er-do-wells. This is kind of fun. You'll get a kick. We're back to Tucker Carlson now.
Oh, Tucker, my boy.
Jesus, look at the time.
No, you got to say it like Sister Clarice, my first grade.
Jesus, teacher. Look at the time.
Oh, Jesus, look at the time. Children behave. And then she clap her head.
So the Lincoln Project has put together an in memoriam for Tucker Carlson.
Oh, God, this ought to be good.
Yeah, I know.
They do such good work.
They do.
Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have mutually agreed to part ways.
Okay.
Last show was this past Friday.
2009 to 2023.
You take a collection of dumb, desperate people in middle age, hoping to keep on to their stupid TV jobs. You add scripts and some hairspray, and they just repeat the lies for you. It was not even close to an insurrection. Nicotine frees your mind, and THC makes you compliant and passive. Testicle tanning, that's crazy. Talking to Trump is one of the great joys, one of the great animal joys.
A rock is a crappy place filled with a bunch of, you know, semi-literate, primitive monkeys.
Shut up, racist! Our civilization is superior. Let's pretend for a sec that our country had a news media that was interested in bringing you the news. What were these sheep doing when you apprehended them? They call you the egg hustler. Leprechauns exist not just on cereal boxes. M&M's will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is deeply unappealing and totally androgynous.
I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic.
I gotta go. You should stick to the thigh-high boots. You're better at that. Maybe the orange M&M is a secret sexist himself. Your mask is making me uncomfortable.
Why shouldn't I root for Russia?
Because which I am.
I'm not a Putin defender.
Despite what you may have heard.
The end of the Lincoln Project. We can all celebrate that.
We want to thank Tucker Carlson for his service to the network.
I'm sorry, I just got to take a quick break and go cry in a closet while squeezing a stuffed animal. Rick Wilson? Ugh.
Oh, he who laughs last laughs loudest. Yes.
The music was perfect. And the thing is, it's like we need the eggs. You know, we haven't taken Tucker to the doctor because we need the eggs. That cackle, Jesus.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I love the Lincoln Project.
Well, the word is now coming out that shit-canning Tucky O'Rose came straight from Rupee.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
the LA Times said people familiar with the situation who were not authorized to comment publicly said the decision to fire Carlson came straight from Fox Corp. From Rupee. And yes, a lawsuit filed by former Fox News producer Abby Grossberg was said to be connected to Carlson's filing.
You know, I wondered firing. About that on a percentage basis. How much of it had to do with being an irresponsible communicator, broadcaster, in the terms of the shit that he was pushing, and how much of it had to do with, you know, the harassment issues. Because neither one is good when it comes.
They're saying that they were concerned about January 6th and what he had to do with that. But it was not about the Dominion suit.
Hmm.
So that's kind of interesting. Let's see. Oh, the Stressline phone went dark, and I forgot somebody was over there. Let's go. I think we got Scary Jerry, Scott. Hey, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Robin.
How are you?
Can you hear me? In the phone. There's a place called Kokomo's. That's where you want to go and dip your toes in the Atlantic Ocean. I forgot the rest of it. I actually used to work at Kokomo's a while back. Kokomo's is gone. It's been turned into a condom, but how y'all doing?
Ah, it's just another lovely day here in the hills and hollers, yeah.
I think this whole Tucker Carlson being fired is kind of huge. He's their thought leader. He really is.
For a certain segment, yeah.
For a certain segment, he is the de facto prince since Rush Limbaugh died. I've heard more Tucker Carlson said in the last 3 years than I cared ever in my whole life. Fuck that guy. I hope he's unhappy. He's not, because he's a millionaire, but I hope he steps on a fucking leg or catches a disease that's incurable. Fuck that guy. Fuck him with a chainsaw. Fuck Tucker Carlson.
And while we're at it, what is Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis doing? Traveling the globe and hanging out with politicians in Japan?
I don't want to talk about Ron DeSantis right now. I literally have nothing wrong going on in my life. And for about 4 or 5 days, I forgot he was the governor. Why are you reminding me?
Sorry.
Nobody was talking about Ron. I saw two girls holding hands. I hit on a girl. She told me she was into girls. And a Fox News right winger even made a poisonous Bud Light joke. I have no other than that guy, maybe. I have no quarrel with the world, madam and sir. None at all. All is well. You get where I'm coming from?
I do. I absolutely do.
None whatsoever. I pulled it off. I can't go to in a what or who, but I finally got my life on the right track. I work in the Keys, and I live someplace cheap up north. It's a fucking 4 or 5 hour commute, and I'm like 3 quarters of the way from. I just came back to the mainland. Being in the Keys, you're literally out at sea. You know that if you've been there. It's like being on a cruise in a bus. Very weird. But beautiful. And I did it with you guys, partially, you and Gal. It kept me sane. Just listening in until I healed from my concussion and my psychic injuries and whatever else the fuck was going on. So, I'm putting $20 on the table, man. $2,000, I was like, what the hell are y'all doing with my life over here?
Yeah, $21.90 to finish the month.
Hello.
In a week.
How are you? Hold on, Robin. I'm hitting on the gas station attendant here in Olmsted. We're having a moment.
Jerry.
We are really having a moment. Do you have what's your name, man? Write that down for me. I gotta see that quick. Let me have a black in my mouth. Peronique, is that how it goes? That's unique. I'm Scary Jerry. You're on a podcast right now. It's very liberal. No, seriously, that's what I'm doing right now. Amongst other things, do you have black and mild? The sweet. All right, just the regular. All right. So, I think the biggest thing, though, with Tucker Carlson, are you still there?
Yeah, right here.
Is the whole Bonnie Willis, how she just said, not Trump, you're up, come July, fucking September, suffer. that is totally the best way you can torture Trump. November 10th, 1960-something, we'll leave it at that. Anytime anybody starts a conversation with 19, there you go. Now she knows my age. She thinks I'm less cute. She's like, oh, yeah, what the fuck? She laughs. All right, let me get out of here. Get back to my show. All right. You guys and gals still there?
Right here.
Hello?
Right here.
All right. I just took you along, but I'm at one of the world's largest or most popular Walmarts at the Milwaukee USA station in Florida City on the edge of tomorrow. Before it is. And I've been craving a cigar. and some cold RC Cola since I left at normal mainland prices, because everything down there is 5 and 10 times as what it's on the mainland, because they have a captive audience. I have so many stories to tell. I stopped getting pissed off about running into so many Republicans, not necessarily radical red wingers. That's a good word. Because, I mean, the keys are $1 billion real estate. They're going to run into some Republicans. And they've been programmed. But I dropped a total fucking grenade last week on Earth, because I heard a rumor that Tucker was going to be fired. I go, you heard that Tucker's going to be fired? And he's like, ah, no, he's not. No, he's not. Because I've listened to more Republican talk radio in the last week than I've listened to in the last 10 years. And it's disgusting. But I've run with them. I call it floaty programming. They go in and rant, and I go, you have proof? Website, address? And they don't. Very effective. I go, show me something. Show me bullshit. Show me something. Write it down now. Because I don't believe you. It sounds like bullshit. They got nothing for that. Nobody ever does that when they're talking with these motherfuckers. They give them the premise of, hey, what you're saying may be true. No, that sounds like bullshit. Defend it. Prove it. All of it. Too much with this. The whole abortion thing. That was some bullshit. What the fuck does a dentist want to have to do with abortion medicine? My God. I wish I could pay Will Smith to slap those motherfuckers. He really needs an app. Response? I feel like I'm talking to myself here.
No, you're not. You're not. We're listening. I mean,
I'm not that red. I just came from the Keys. I drank a shot of some Honey Jim Beam. I had high fives. I talked to, I learned about, commemorated a terrorist fashion. It was 2 years yesterday. That was part of the grand plan for me, to be in a safe space. You follow me?
Yeah.
And it worked. I didn't lose my shit. And I went through it. And you're using my family now. You really, really are. A lot of people say that, and it's complete bullshit. It's crushing when you find out it's not true. It's just manipulation. But use my family. And I couldn't even link it to the show, because a lot of times I'd be working. And believe it or not, I'd be scared to, because I work with like a Republican and a hardcore Republican. You would say something, I want to fuck with them. I'm like, you know what? I got a new little job here. Don't fight with the locals right out the first week. Way back in the cut. And say something pithy at the end of it all. But short of getting a one-man tent, all my baking supplies, bringing my own weed, and coming up with a dress up polo and shorts, I'm living the life. I'm living a life I believe that I would have when I was 12 years old, finally.
Finally.
And that's it, and that's that.
So you're back from the Keys?
And but I go back to work on Thursday.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is my my weekend. I'm wearing flip-flops, a white T-shirt, and smoking a Cuban cigar. Or no, this ain't Cuban. This is a black and mild. But I'm really cute cashier just now. She was like laughing at me.
I know. It, yeah. you're probably better off. You're probably better off making those overtures. You know, when you aren't distracted by being on air.
No, actually, it's not true. Not true. Normally speaking, yeah, but I got so much neural activity, and I really need to get home and take some medication because I'm just becoming slightly manic. But when I'm becoming slightly manic, I'm charming as fuck. I'm just also dangerous to my finances and things like that.
I get that.
But for meeting someone? Great. So the whole being on a live historic podcast, the Robin fucking Kincaid show, and talking about that shit here, low-key asking how old I was. concerning nicotine and tobacco products. And this is the perfect chapter for a perfect day. I was hoping I'd be able to call in because I was trying to call in before, and it was terrible. There's only one cell phone tower per island. These are a collection of about 90 different islands. They're all their own little countries. Got their own little, it's epically weird. And I had to call you guys, and I had to do a review on Google Maps about the two coolest headshots in the entire known universe, parked across the street from each other at approximately mile marker 100. Where I can do long form prose at on Google Maps. Google Maps has become incredibly sophisticated. They always keep track of everything, and it was wonderful. Because that's part of the problem, is everything looks the same. Different, but the same. You never really know where you are.
I haven't heard the term head shop in forever.
I'm an old hippie.
I understand.
I finally made my element. But yeah, now there's no, it's all vapes and glues and goos and gums, but it's wonderful. Because you're allowed to say pot out loud. Out of the closet. We're the last subgroup. This is really drag us back in the closet. I don't know. I know you got your antenna up on trans issues, but look over here at our weed people. They're trying to put us back in the closet. When they go, hey, these mass shooters are out doing this because of weed, I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here. I officially can't listen to anything more you said. Weed, to shoot them schools because of weed? Really? Really? That's what you're going with? And I heard the whole narrative. Who said it? Trump said it. Marjorie Taylor Greene said it. And, you know, it's a narrative. I mean, hypothetically speaking, in a dream about a video game or somebody shot one of the Koch brothers in the stomach and the face, I'd buy that game. That's all I'm saying.
I get it. I do.
And if I could use the same video game bullet and shoot Rupert Murdoch, oh boy.
Don't say that on this air. You can't do that.
We're talking about avatars and NFTs and spikes. Actual 98-year-old meatbags who are poisonously destroying the world. I hope they breathe a long time and are able to atone for their sins before they go straight to fucking hell. But until then, I would shoot them in a video game with a Rupert Murdoch skin. In fact, I just thought of something really great. I was like, wait a minute, just stop talking. Just start getting images. I'd like to shoot Tucker Carlson in the Doom mod thing. That'd be great. And have him say stupid things as you know, he shoots pixels on my screen. But, you know, that'd be great. Oh, stop. I'm saying that'd be great. Come on, you see where I'm going with this? I know you can see it, Robert.
Yes.
You can have some fun. But no. The human meat bags, I want them to all go to jail and live to 1,000. That's what I want.
Like Supermax in Florence, Colorado, maybe?
Yeah, with life enhancement. I want them to have life enhancement chemicals. I want them with improved immune systems. I want their hearing fixed. I don't want them to. I want them to live 120 years in jail. So I just see what I just did there, Agent Fred? You like that? I know you did. Yeah, like that too, Robin. That was pretty smooth, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, listen, we have gotten to the end of things pretty much. You stay safe, okay? And
pass it on the hat, Hornady. It's me. It's got fist bump across the country. San Diego, what's up? That's still there?
Yep.
I'm here. I just was having a little trouble understanding. Your connection's not real good.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah. It's really staticky and distorted. But you're not breaking up. So.
How about this? Is this better?
Yeah, considerably.
We're both audio files. If it sounds like crap, let me know in 1 second. I hate listening to a bad phone call. To know I'm making a bad phone call.
I didn't know if there was anything to be done.
You're being gracious.
I'm trying.
No, they have to sound. Yeah, no, we're making history over here. It should sound good. All right, and Scott actually was making a face on the sound quality. So just by Scott's voice, I was like, nah, this sounds like shit. Thank you, Scott.
No,
Is this better?
Well, yeah, it is. I'm just saying that I like what you bring to the party, but if I'm catching every third word, it loses something. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, no, that's very important. I have so much still to unpack. I still haven't even talked about how super gay Ultra was, and that was a month ago. And how in the last month I've actually worked for the 1%. And how they're assholes, but they pay their bills on time. It's weird. And prefer to pay under the table. Ain't that crazy? Fuck fighting them, joining them. Just got to keep my mouth shut. I don't know how to do that, though, so I'll be calling in and putting some cash on the table and bitching about them. That's my outlet. Some of my beliefs are radical, and everybody knows everybody. I officially have to watch what I say. That's why I work. But, I mean, to be honest, the Fort Keys is a military base. I do think it's nuclear capable, low-key, too. So every inch of that is United States defense property at the end of the day. They know everything. They just allow what they want to continue. Do you follow me?
Yes. I do.
It's a weird thing. Everything's perfect there. It's perfect hippie capitalist paradise. And we're normal people like myself are battling with billionaires for real estate. So it's everything. I'm really happy that I got a big old truck to sleep in when I was down there. I mean, there's some places I cost $2,000 a night. And those are the moves I was making. So I always said if I just had a place to sleep and shower in the keys, if I could just work there, I'd be happy. And here I am. Dreams come true. Is that right? It's not, Rob. Dreams actually do come true.
I'm glad.
So that's, yeah. Next stop, Pop's birthday. That's this week. Maybe we'll watch a 89 this week. My champion.
How's he doing?
Yeah. He's doing all right. He's not moving as fast as he used to, but he's not moving any slower. I heard that once and it's very accurate. And if I could squeeze a couple of gummies in him for the arthritis pain, I think I'll be doing all right. He's a very standard, very conservative nurse wife is gatekeeping a little bit, so I don't like a couple of the medical choices. I mean, she's experienced, but I actually have chemical knowledge and genetics and intuition. But, you know, everything's good. My granddaughter bumped her head. And this is a crazy story. My granddaughter's about 500 miles away in Tampa, or was. And I woke up with a pounding headache at 2:34 this morning. I mean, literally, I just worked 26 hours straight. There was no fucking reason for me to be awake. You understand?
Yeah.
She'd been sleeping. Woke up out of dead sleep. Turns out she hit her head at about 2-ish this morning. And I woke up again at 5 o'clock. They went to the hospital at 5 o'clock. I don't know if that's magic or what that is, but I could, and I'd even told my daughter where my granddaughter hit her head because I could feel it. I was blaming it on a coffee headache. It was a coffee headache from hell, but coffee didn't fix it. Gummies didn't fix it. I don't know. That shot of Jim Beam fixed it. Oddly enough.
Sometimes it can, yeah.
It was once, not for, I had water and this, that, and the other thing, and it, the pain finally unclenched. Maybe it just, vasoconstricted, which is what alcohol does, but maybe that's the only thing that works. Single shot, so I'll put that in the formula. But yeah, everything's great. I love you, Horn family. I'm glad I have a horn hollering. I'm down here in the Super Florida Man, Florida, Monroe, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. That's
hey,
it.
Hey, Jerry?
Yes?
I think I've got the name or the title for you. You're the potentate from the Sunshine State.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
Potentate of the Sunshine State.
God gave me a nickname. Woo-hoo. Oh, man, I'm getting a T-shirt.
And it'll
getting a T-shirt.
And it'll stick, too.
Oh, that's good shit right there. No, I'm, if I can, the next couple of weeks, I'm going to low-key go to the Key West and promote the show. Just from the Rainbow Posse angle. Because it's funny, they talk shit about Don't Say Gay, but the Rainbow Posse in Monroe County is in full effect. And even the most rapid right-wing, I said, the gays are okay, the trans are okay, I don't care, I just don't care. This was great, I got this from you. It's just that the sports that they're in, that bothers me. I go, do you know how many trans athletes there are? He goes, no. I go, I think about 300 in the world, in America. This is bullshit. Why do you care?
Exactly.
You never gave a fuck before. Why do you care now? All this over 300 people? Who gives a fuck? Did you have a bet on it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Utah's a classic case. Four kids in Utah, and only one of them was a trans girl. So they bent the entire force of the Utah legislature to hurting four kids.
Overreact much?
I really care more about Aaron Rodgers now being a fucking New York Jet. That troubles me.
Well, I know. I'm sorry. That's hilarious. I find that hilarious.
That keeps you up at night, okay? That'll keep me up an extra 5 minutes tonight. I was like, oh, fuck, the trade went through. The only people, who are the people in the world who didn't want that to happen? The Miami Dolphins fans. Like, oh, this fuck shit right here.
True. Well, listen, I got to get out of here. Hopefully we will talk soon. Scott, thank you for a wonderful conversation. Thank you, Jerry. And thank you for your patience. Because
keep breathing, Scott.
Thank you.
Keep breathing, Scott.
I will. Thank you. You take care, Jerry. And Robin, you take care. And Horn family, as always, I love you madly.
All right. See ya. You take care. See you guys. And so we are at the close of the program. A little, I was talking about testicle toasting Tuckio Rose, maybe going into the employ of Leon Scum. Brother Deacon Asa says, rubber Tucky's too big a fish for Leon Pond Scum's little tiny pool. He's probably going to have his own YouTube channel with 10 million subscribers. He'll probably do better than he did at Fox News. He may, but he'll have to deal with YouTube's terms of service, such as they are. But Ralph sent this along, and I find this hilarious. The story is from May 19th of 2020, Dateline Woodstock, Maine. Now, this was May of 2020. Tucker Carlson's main studio, located down the road from his vacation home in an old garage in Woodstock, is almost ready for airtime. Carlson purchased the building in Bryant Pond Village last fall for $30,000 and says he plans to use the small studio about 35 days a year for his television show, Tucker Carlson Tonight. Well, you may be right. You may be right, Brother Deacon. He may go to YouTube. And I hope they ride him like a barred mule. Because, then again, he'll be ugly anywhere he goes. But a little bit of good news. I like this story. Over in Spain, they have dug up the last mortal remains of the founder of Spanish fascism. He was buried in a grandiose basilica that also once housed the corpse of Generalissimo Francisco Franco, who, by the way, is still dead. And, his name is José Antonio Primo de Rivera, and he founded the Falangist Party in 1933. And they went on to become the cornerstone of Spanish fascism under Franco, and worked hand in glove with the Spanish Roman Catholic Church. Well, he's been dug up, and they're going to bury him somewhere else because Spain actually takes seriously its fascist heritage and wants no part of it. So 6 months ago, the Spanish government passed a statute called the Democratic Memory Law and says that no fascist murderer can be buried in a place of reverence and he was buried there in 1959 in the Basilica of the Valley of the Fallen. He was actually executed by the Spanish Republican government for his fascist uprising. No figure linked to the 1936 military coup that triggered the Civil War should be buried in a prominent public place, the law says, that could encourage acts of homage or exaltation. And so on April 24th, they dug him up because it's exactly 120 years since the filthy little fascist's birth. And the place where he was buried was built by forced labor by the fascist Franco regime. Sic semper fascisti, as far as I'm concerned. Good on you, Spain. Oh, and after Leon Scum's dick rocket exploded last week, everybody said, oh, no, it was supposed to happen that way. It's definitely what we were looking for. Yeah, no. It turns out that they will be months fixing all the stuff on the ground that the rocket trashed. And Leon Scum had said, wow, if we can just get it in the air, that'll be a win. No. Flying chunks of concrete, twisted metal sheets, craters blasted deep into the ground, all came with that screw-up. And it turns out the SpaceX engineers didn't quite estimate how much damage the thing would do trying to get off the ground. And according to Agence France-Presse and one of their photographers, the area around the launch site is a place of desolation. And he also, and we've talked a lot about the deleterious effects of ultrafine particulate dust on human populations. A huge cloud of dust settled over a little town a lot of miles away. On Twitter, Leon Scum said,
the force of the engines when they throttled up may have shattered the concrete rather than simply eroding it.
Oh, well. And there's a possibility it'll even melt steel trying to get off the ground. Somebody, don't tell the 9/11 truthers, please. And Shorty in L.A. with an observation. With us talking about Tucky, here's a couple of things we're not talking about. The poison in the Ohio River has worked its way to the Mississippi River. The America has brought fake charges against the Uhuru organization, started another uprising in several African countries. And the damage done to cities and towns by the failed rockets of SpaceX are not allowed as a daily serious news topic. Well, lo and behold, we got one out of three. So that's it. That's this Moran Monday. We are off on a mad dash to finish the month of April. We will be at 2170 tomorrow night. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, thanks, John. And thanks, Jerry, for kicking in to make sure we weren't a goose egg for this Morin Monday. Thank you so much. By the way, Brother Deacon Asus is Leon Scum's dick rocket crashing and burning, the perfect metaphor for Twitter. Ain't it just? Thanks, everybody. Seriously. Thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our each and every one of you in our family who participates in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve and Roger in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Hey, remember, like and subscribe, share, comment, press that heart button at TuneIn Radio. Whatever platform you're listening, help the algorithms know that, you know, like the citizens of Whoville, we're here, we're here. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people. I know the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. You do not want Arcturus. Wear your masks, especially when you're around maggots, because they're a filthy lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket and purse. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And well, if some dude comes towards you saying, "I got me some manly conservative beer," avoid that dude with his handful of horse piss like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.